As you can imagine, I have spent the better part of the last 4 days consoling the weary. I had not intended to give this homily that I'm going to give you right now, but it has been requested by so many persons in the parish that I've sort of taken it as God's will that I speak about this, because part of finding God's will is hearing the people of God, listening to what they say, and when there seems to be a large consensus, a sense of the faithful about what we ought to be thinking about and how to make sense of things, it's worth mentioning and worth speaking about, just even for a few moments this morning. And so what I want to speak about this morning is simply perhaps a recap of some of the things we ought to keep in mind moving forward from this past Tuesday. If you were here last week at the 7:30 or the 10:30, you might recall that I said that regardless of what the outcome of Tuesday's election was, the election already confirmed in our minds that which we already knew to be true about the country, regardless of the outcome of the election. And that is, the country is deeply, deeply divided. It seems that there are two irreconcilable visions for the country. One that embraces biblical truths on protecting the life of the unborn, the freedom of the church, and the status of traditional marriage, and one that does not. Sadly for us, Tuesday hammered home the reality that the forces that oppose us are very, very strong. Second, many are despondent and upset and angry and disturbed by what happened this past Tuesday on two counts. The first is the most glaring. Many folks in our ranks thought that there were still many people in this country who share our vision for what America should be. The election showed that, but that may not be the case. The election results manifest a cultural paradigm shift away from traditional Judeo-Christian values. There is no doubt about that. And second, I know many of you, perhaps at least subconsciously, are upset by the apathy of so many persons who could have helped our cause but refused to for whatever reason. Keep in mind, less than half of the eligible electorate voted on Tuesday. Less than half. And I shudder at that reality because I remember very well some years ago when Iraq had its first democratic elections after Saddam Hussein. And people went to the polls risking literally life and limb. And remember those beautiful pictures of those persons holding up their ink-stained finger because they already had made a mark on their vote. And they were so proud to exercise the capacity to vote, which is really truly a beautiful sign of their yearning for freedom and their desire to have their voice heard in a civil way. And yet, there were many people who could have voted to defend our vision of America, but simply chose not to. There are many reasons why that may have been the case, but not too important this morning to enumerate all of them. In fact, even any of them, really. So, moving forward, we should be keenly aware of what Tuesday's election will mean, more than likely, in the country in at least the coming 4 years. For example, the victories for so-called gay marriage in Maine, Maryland, and Washington State, in addition to the defeat of a definition of traditional marriage in Minnesota, means that the advocates for these illicit relationships feel energized more than ever to keep pushing forward beyond past victories in Washington, D.C. and 6 other states. It is not unreasonable to think that in the next 10 years, more states will also move in this direction, accepting so-called gay marriage, placing persons of Judeo-Christian beliefs at a serious disadvantage. Just think of it in these terms. People vote with their pocketbooks. There was spent 4 times as much money by them than by our friends in this regard in those states. Second, it is undoubtedly more than likely that the president will appoint more pro-abortion justices to the Supreme Court in the next coming years, which will make it practically impossible for at least one more generation to reverse Roe versus Wade, or to even place a serious challenge to it in the courts. That should be deeply disturbing. And with his re-election, the president feels vindicated to continue to permanently enshrine the health care law and his unfettered persecution of the church and any person who makes claims in religious freedom in regards to the Health and Human Services Department contraceptive mandate. This virulent attack on the First Amendment will most likely be decided in the court system. And who knows what will happen there. So we ask ourselves, what shall we do? How shall we react? Well, we have one of two choices. We can recoil. We can decide to turn inwards and become insular. We can feel sorry for ourselves. We can throw pity parties for the next 4 years. But it's unlikely that that actually will do anyone any good, especially ourselves. So perhaps we can look at today's gospel as a paradigm for understanding the best response to how we should react beyond the initial grief and despair that so many of you have come forward to express to me and to the other priests in these last days. So we look at the widow and her two small coins that she placed in the treasury in today's gospel. We know for a fact that the widow did not have much to give. Her two coins on the surface appeared to be so small and so insignificant as to not really make that much of a difference in the overall collection taken in the temple. But our Lord would disagree. He lauded the widow not for the largesse of her contribution, but for the sincerity of her gift and her desire to do what she could with her resources, that which she had to do for others. And we can do no less. I assume that all of us here are patriotic. That means that we have love for country. It's a virtue actually extolled in the church's tradition. Patriotism is very important. We don't love our country because it's our view versus their view. We love our country because we believe and we're firmly grounded in the reality that our country is unique. It is special. Some think that it has been deigned by God to be a light to the nations. We know that we always don't live up to what we have been given. We know, for those of you who have studied, these issues move so far away from our foundational principles. Yet we still believe, I hope, in our heart of hearts, that America is a country where Judeo-Christian values, even though long rejected in Europe, can still prosper. Some have said that we've reached a tipping point. We've gone beyond the point where Judeo-Christian values enshrined in our laws and in our country's tradition are no longer really the measuring line for how we conduct the national story. But we don't have to say that. We can't. We can't afford to do that. If we are going to imitate the widow in today's gospel, we cannot only give out of our surplus. We have to give out of our want. We can do no less than that. So we must recommit ourselves to doing everything we can to help move the culture in the direction of Jesus Christ. We can pray and fast for national conversion. We can rededicate ourselves to personal holiness. We can take the initiative to dialogue with persons of goodwill who are open to seeing the light of the church's teaching, providing illumination in a very darkened world. For sure, we don't know if our efforts will affect the results we desire. In a way, that shouldn't deter our zeal or our passion for continuing along and fighting the proverbial good fight. Our Lord will not judge us on worldly results per se, since, as we know, so many of them are beyond our real control. But he will judge us according to what we did with what he has given each of us. On Tuesday, we exercised the right to vote. That did not end up yielding the results we wanted. Fine. But it does not mean that we stop there and now yield to the forces that beset us. Rather, we stand up again and continue to struggle along with joy and the peace that comes from the knowledge that we are doing God's will. The country, whether it realizes it or not, is actually depending on us. The country, whether it realizes or not, needs us more than it realizes. So part of exercising our patriotism is being fully engaged in this battle, not only on a political level, but first and foremost on a spiritual level, understanding that the forces around us are not just men, but are the forces of evil from beyond this world. And these we must combat with more vigor than ever. O Mary, conceived without sin,